Welcome to the What's the Temp podcast. My name is Bettina and I am coming in hot.
My name is Jen and I'm checking in so I don't check out.
Today's episode is called The Permission Problem.
So I'm especially excited about this episode today because when I'm reflecting on some of the times when I feel that I'm asking permission, it's because I'm pushing up against approval seeking instead of intuitive wisdom. Mm. I've noticed in other people that faith or universe belief is sort of an undercurrent that allows them to be more confident and less consumed with self. So
I love it.
Let's get into it.
Love that. So let's get into our temp check, Jen. Our temp check today is, what's your waiting for permission temperature this week? Are you asking or are you just acting?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to go in a direction that I've never gone before, which is I'm going to talk about the precipitation. So,
oh my gosh.
Temperature. I know the temperature is in the high 60s,
okay.
But there's hail. There's hail.
Okay.
You know how sometimes it feels like a regular day and then ice balls start to hit the windshield of your car? Has that ever happened to you? Probably not in California.
No. I've only seen that on the
news. That doesn't happen in LA, but you might experience it in Indiana. So there's just a mixture. It's a mixed quality. I love the concept of asking for, what is it? You ask for forgiveness. What is that expression? Not permission.
It's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Yes. When I heard that the first time, that seemed very revolutionary, and I think it still is. The only place where I really feel like I'm kind of under someone's thumb is at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a very, very contrary, very rebellious nature. I have a huge problem with authority. So I find myself bucking constantly at the expectations of work. Mm-hmm. For example, I actually said at my job interview, I said, I'm not going to stay here if my work is done. I just told them that.
I'm out when I'm done.
I was like, I'm not. Well, I said, I'm not going to even allow you to, you know, theoretically pay me for butt in seat.
Yeah.
Because that's a joke. Like, why is that even a thing?
Makes sense.
I just always have felt some type of way. It's like, if I got all my work done, I should be able to leave because wouldn't it benefit the company so much more if then I did something really healthy for me, like go on a walk? So that I can just have a moment to decompress from all of the projects I just completed before picking up my kids? Mm-hmm. Or is it essential to my company that I go straight from working into trying to cook dinner and do whatever so that my life is chaos? Does that benefit the company? So that's what I just can't seem to fall in line.
Yeah. No, I get that.
So something that Sarah said one time, we were at the pool at the gym and she had to take a work call and the service wasn't good. Mm-hmm. So she kind of jumped up and ran into the bathroom when they were like, okay, now it's Sarah's turn and she was supposed to present something. And then when she came back, I was like, what happened? And she was like, I couldn't get the audio and
wow.
I couldn't present. And I was like, what did you say? You know, what did you say after the meeting? And she goes, nothing. And then she said, I never explained myself.
Oh, powerful.
I know, right? And I just thought, wow, that is revolutionary. I wish I could be more like that. Just
yeah.
Not explain myself, not apologize, not. And I know that there's a middle ground to that.
There has to be.
There has to be because there's also consideration and respect and communication. But I feel sometimes like I am asking for permission to take a break or to not be at my desk at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm, for example, let's say I'm stuck on a particular problem, I would love to just bounce out to grab a 45-minute Zumba class or just bounce out to grab a shower or to just go for a walk and clear my head because I work on complex problems. And that helps me to come up with solutions. But then I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, is someone going to message me? Am I going to get a work message? Is my light on? Blah, 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 blah. So I feel like, now that I'm getting older, I just want to stop with that. I want to start to embody more so what Sarah says, where I don't need to explain myself. I'm a 40-something-year-old woman who has worked here for 7 years. I'm a salaried employee.
Yeah.
If I want to go for a walk and not be accountable to my computer for a little bit, it doesn't matter. So I'm trying to move more in that direction. I don't know what it is about this, like, good girl thing that's just got me in its grip. That I feel like I have to answer for how I designate my time. It really bothers me. It's actually called presenteeism.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm writing books about this stuff, so I get it.
Yeah, we've discussed this before and it gets me a little bit heated, but last year, at the beginning of this year, I've been waking up incredibly early and I asked if it was okay if I started my work earlier, mm-hmm. like to the tune of 4 or 5 a.m. so I could knock out all the really important things before I started getting barraged with messages from within the company.
Right.
And then it was implied that also once I get all my work done, I'll also be leaving a little earlier, like 3, which is something I would love to do when my kids are getting out of school, especially because where are they going to go at 3 when they get out of school, you know?
Right.
And he basically said, no, you can't do that because then your green light, the light that is on your chat app, would be going dark earlier and then people would wonder where you are. So even if I were to still always be available, even from the hours of 3 to 5 or 6, if I were needed, it still would need to be that my chat light was on. Otherwise, people would wonder. And that incensed me.
Yeah.
And then the way I am, because I'm so opposite extremes, is like the first thought is like, well, then I quit.
Well, okay. Wait, I want to take it outside of your work. Like outside of your work, how comfortable are you with trusting your own judgment? Because it's called the permission problem. So how comfortable are you with trusting your own judgment on important decisions?
Well, in that context, I'm not sure how to answer because who am I asking permission from if it's just my personal life? I'm in charge of my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, why I'm also saying hail is because even though I'm getting more confident at work with just not explaining it, if I need to leave my desk for any amount of time during the day, as long as I'm getting my job done, if I'm doing, you know, I need to start dinner earlier, I need to whatever, as long as my work is done, I'm not going to be tethered to that idea of presenteeism anymore. I've just decided that's not how I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm imposing it upon myself. Like,
yeah,
I am technically being watched. Like I am being watched in the sense that my computer is being surveilled, which is why it's super annoying. But that is the area where it's strongest. But even today, my fitness ring, like I was telling you earlier, told me not to go to yoga. If your fitness ring is saying you need rest, you're having a problem. You know, I feel like your fitness ring should be like, yes, exercise, great.
Please but go. Saying, that's what my watch says. Yeah, get up.
Yeah.
Go somewhere. Walk around.
Exactly. Get some steps. This thing told me your recovery is not good. You have to stop strenuous exercise, which is crazy because I only do 3 classes a week. But it told me less strenuous exercise, more rest. So I wanted to not go to this class today. But then I was thinking, I'm already signed up for it and the cancellation window is closed. And then I was, one thought happened that if they would email me, because you get punished, like you only get 3 strikes if you sign up for a class and then you don't show up to it. And I thought, oh, but then I'm going to get an email later that says you missed Warrior Sculpt. And it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Break the rules. Yeah. What do you mean?
So they can't fight me.
Yes. It's like there's something... Is it endemic the right word? Like there's something that is really, really deeply ingrained
innate.
In me. Even though I don't think of myself as a rule follower, there's this thing pulling at me that's saying it's not okay if you make your own decisions.
Yeah.
So I don't like that as a place to be. So I'm in the middle of like a straight hailstorm right now of just like what I believe is my value system versus what I am allowing myself to do.
Yeah. I get
that's where I'm at. Tell me, what is your permission temp?
A perfect 350 degrees. We're going back to perfect.
Why am I not
you know
surprised?
Why?
Okay.
Because I don't ask for
Welcome
permission.
Welcome back.
I don't ask for permission.
Okay, so explain.
remember when I like I told you, when I moved from Los Angeles to the Midwest, no one knew but my children because it was on a need-to-know basis. Period. Mm. My brother, because he had to drive, my kids drove me to the airport. All of my children, all three of my children drove me to the airport in the middle of the night for my flight. Like, I don't ask
literally
for permission.
Left in the middle of the night.
I literally left in the middle of the night. Not like that. Yeah. I didn't run away like that. Like, I'm not a fugitive, but but my flight was an 11 p.m. flight. But anyway, it's one of those things where I don't ask for permission. I consult infinite intelligence. That's why my prayer life is such that it is, because I have a framework that I operate inside of where I'm asking myself, am I in my emotions or is this real? Is there, like, what precedence is there in the Bible for this kind of thing? And does this situation reflect what God promised me in his word? And so once I get to that framework and then I can take the answers to those questions in prayer, then I can kind of sit and discern the next right thing to do, which that's a phrase I got from you, the next right thing to do. But I can literally sit after prayer and discern the next right thing to do. For me, one thing I love about myself is I'm decisive and I am diligent, you know?
You are.
And so once I make a decision to work at something, I'm going to give that thing everything that I have. I'm going to make that decision and I'm going to go with it. And when I find myself floundering, I really have to go back to the framework. Am I in my emotions? Where's the precedence for this in the Bible, for this situation? And does this situation reflect, like, where am I? I'm quick to ask myself, where is my fault in this situation? I'm quick to ask myself that because I'm always ready to apologize, ready to change, because I can be seen as abrupt or confrontational. Right? I can be seen, like, the way that I speak. If you don't know me, you would think that I'm short and it's not personal much of the time. So I'm quick to apologize authentically. Like, I authentically apologize if I feel like I've offended someone or if I've hurt someone, you know, that kind of thing. But on the other hand, because I'm so stingy with my time, the way we've talked about, I speak in bullet points. Sometimes, like when it's about business or at certain times, I speak in bullet points, like get to the point. It was funny when I was in dentistry, the East Coast was my territory and I thrived there because I learned how to speak in bullet points like New Yorkers. You know, I didn't have to tell the whole story. I could get to the point. These are the three highlights that you need to know. And if you need me to expand on it, I can. But let's make a decision right here.
Speaking in headlines. Yeah, I've heard of that.
And so it was just this way that I had. I was able to be flexible, but I just don't ask for permission. I consult God about whatever it is I'm doing. I get my divine downloads is what I call them. I get my divine download and then I move. And
but who would you be asking for permission from if you were asking for permission?
So it's like you would have to be in a certain place in my life to be like, if I was married to a husband that I was submitted to certain things, like certain big decisions. I found this was a really, really fine line where I would make moves in my business. I would make major moves in my business so that would, you know, cost a lot, like have a major investment, like a $50,000 investment, $125,000 investment from my business, but that was my decision to make alone because I'm the business owner. Now, if there was a possibility for some kind of something that could come back on my family life or that would diminish my finances and not allow me to do what I needed to do for my family, that is where I would have a conversation with my partner. But there's been no one that I've been, my permission is from God. Like, God, do I move on this thing or do I not? I don't have anyone. Even when there are things going on in my personal life, like with my children, and you know how I've been the mom that because my friends, we all had kids when the kids were growing up, I'm like, am I crazy or is my kid the only one doing X, Y, Z, right? So we would have these conversations as mothers and it would feel good to make just to know that you weren't alone, that their kid does this thing too. Like, they had to throw the Xbox 360 off their balcony too. It's not just
me. I love that story.
But
I want to throw my son's Xbox off the balcony. That I aspire to that. I love that kind of
There was that. But then here recently, I remembered I was going through something, and it was something about one or two of my children that was really bothering me. And when I get upset about something, I put on my gym clothes and I start walking towards the YMCA, right? And I put on my clothes and I started walking. But my intent when I walked out the door was to call my mother in California. And then immediately when I had that thought, my thought was, nope, talk to God about it. And I did. And once I got back, so I did my walk, went to the gym, came back, and it was a day I wasn't even supposed to work out. But that's my default. Like, let me burn off this energy, right? But also let me consult infinite intelligence. And when I did, I came back and I had so much peace, and I hadn't talked to a soul. But I had so much peace about that situation, like a peace that would not have occurred had I talked to my mom about it.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where I just don't. I'm decisive. I make the decision. I pray about it. And then I leave it there.
Ugh, I love that so much. This is one way that I find you very inspirational, because I do notice that people of faith seem to... what's the word? Like, vacillate less? Or there's another really great word that would fit here that I'm blanking on right now. But the fact that you take that time to get right with God and then you move out into action with confidence is really a beautiful thing. That's something that I heard someone in a meeting say, that they go to their network before they go to God, and that they would like to reverse that order.
Absolutely.
And I identified with that. I identified with that. Let's move into our life focus question.
Do you want to go straight to life focus over backstory?
Or is it?
You better go ahead and jump ahead, honey. Better go right ahead.
Oh my gosh. Let's instead go into our backstory. learning when I do want to pick your brain about this one. Lead the way. Learning when to ask forgiveness versus permission. Tell us about it.
I've just been that person that felt it was better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. Because, well, you have to think, this I didn't even think that this was smart until I got to business. But as a teenager, we weren't the kids that could just hang out, go to a friend's house, have a night over with friends, that kind of thing. We were kind of in the house. And so I was the kid that once I got out, you didn't see me for, I don't know, 2 days. I'm not coming back. When I get out, I'm not coming back. Because
were you not allowed to when you were younger?
No, because we had responsibilities. We couldn't do all that.
Really?
So no,
you weren't
girl.
Allowed to spend the night at a friend's house?
Never. No. When you have family members that have gone through sexual traumas, you're never going to be subjected to that. So I've not experienced that, because I had overprotective women in my family that had experienced their own level of sexual trauma. And so I thank God for that, because I've never experienced it because of their, like, nope, we don't do nights over. Nope, we're not doing that. Then your kid can come over here because it's safe here, but my kid's not going over, or my niece isn't going over. No, ma'am. We're not doing that. And so that was the blessing in it. But that overprotectiveness kind of led to sheltered. And then I had this big personality. I had this big spirit. And so when I got out, how do you think I got pregnant at 16 years old? When I got out, I wasn't coming back. What? And then when you're out there, you're subjected to what's out there.
Yeah.
that's kind of where that was birthed, but where it was refined was in my adulthood when I needed to make a decision. Even as a corporate employee, I remembered making decisions. For me, perfect was perfect, and anything short of that was not done. And so my boss, the owner of the company, and I would fight. I think we've had this discussion where the owner of the company and I would fight. Like, I would be in tears because he had a good enough spirit. In his mind, it was good enough, but good enough does not meet this prescription sent by this doctor. Good enough does not match the conversation that he and I had. So say the doctor sent in a prescription and the prescription was asking for all these things, and some of it was impossible, some of it was probable, but some of it could absolutely be done. And then I would come back after looking at that prescription, have a conversation with the doctor, and we would get to a level of acceptance. So we're not on the actual prescription. These are the corrections that we've made, but everything that we've agreed to can be done. And then it's possible. And then now you're going to say, because the person on the bench doesn't want to work that hard, that this is good enough, but this is below the level of perfect that we agreed on that phone. And I do not accept that. And so there was this, there was always this conflict or this tension. And that was kind of why I came out of corporate world, because it's like, as long as I work for someone else, especially if that person doesn't have a spirit of excellence, as long as I work for someone else, this is always going to be what I'm up against. And that stressed me out, because if I give you my word that I'm going to do that, I want to be able to honor that with everything that I have. And if I don't do it, it's because it was impossible, not because I came to a conclusion that this is good enough. And so...
So did you push them to,
I would push the person on the bench, even outside of what the owner is saying.
Yeah.
So even after you've gone to complain. And so what I would do is go back to the doctor and say, okay, so listen, the boss is saying that da 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 da. So I'm going to need, I'm just not going to be the one to disappoint you. And he's like, oh, hell no, let me talk to him, you know? And so then that put the ball back in his court where they would have to, he would say, do whatever Bettina said. You know?
So and you then, just went and made those moves. You didn't ask.
I made the moves happen. And then after the fact, after the perfect thing was shipped, I would have to go back to my boss and say, listen, we did a great thing, but why do we have to always fight like this? Huh. And he's like, you're making me have problems with my people on the bench. But to me, it was, we need to set a standard here. Good. There's no such thing as good enough. It's either perfect or it's not. And that just made sense to me. Even when it came to moving here, once I made up in my mind, and this was weeks of planning, weeks of ideating, weeks of all these things. And I was just like, yeah, I'm out. And it ended up being a great thing for me. It ended up being a great thing for my family, because even some of the things that we're experiencing on the back end, people are having life happen to them back at home. And it's situations where I would have had my hands all in their business, trying to help and breaking my back, trying to fix it. But this is a them and God thing. It's not a them and Bettina thing. So forgive me later for not jumping in where you felt that I should have, but this was a thing where God told me to have my hands off, and I'm learning how to do that. And if I had to be so many thousand miles away for me to do that, then so be it.
In the earlier example where you eventually just decided to leave that job because you just felt like you were having to force outcomes through, what does it look like when you are in the kind of prayer process, like the deliberation process of should I leave this job or not? Before you go forth with decisive action, what does the process before that look like?
Well, I did not know that I was going to be going into entrepreneurship. So remember my transition from being an employee to working for myself happened because I would not. Remember, I would not make that decision. It was being offered to me. It was being laid out to me. Things are being suggested to me in the spirit and the physical, but I just rejected it because of the comfort and the stability of being an employee, right?
Yeah.
But remember, I had those two accidents back to back. Even when I had the first accident, I still went to work every day in pain.
Yeah.
And then I had the second accident and I could not go to work. Yeah. And because I'm so cognizant of how this happened, like it's so clear to me now, I can see the thread. There's a through thread to me of God in this whole situation. And I know that it was because I was rejecting the opportunities that were being thrown at me and that were being shown to me for a business ownership. And even though everything that had been spoken over my life, I've had prophets say that, you know, you're meant for this, you're meant for that. And I was just like, man, that must be for somebody next to me because come on, you know, I'm going to go to work and make sure these kids can eat a steak or make sure these kids can go to school.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember this. Soon after the second accident, soon after I sat down long enough to get my house settled, that's when the opportunities for entrepreneurship came. And then it's like, even now, so it's funny, even now, looking at the possibility of having a job, let me tell you who Bettina McCadney, I was about to say my whole government name, but let me tell you who Bettina McCadney has been as an employee. Like, I've never applied for a job that I did not get. I've never not gone to an interview for a job I did not get. That's just never happened to me. And so being in this place now and putting in job applications, what makes me feel like having a job is not for me because I'm submitting applications and not even getting like, oh, we decided to pass. Oh, we decided to pass. Yeah. That's never happened to me. But yes. On the other side, grand God ideas for my business are coming to me. And so there's just this fine line and this dichotomy that's happening in the background. So that makes me go into prayer. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, I need you to lead me here. And I need you to give me a sign. I need you to give me a definite yay or nay about what I'm supposed to do here. Because I call myself giving you something to work with when I'm taking time, looking for jobs, filling out applications, writing cover letters, and, you know, doing all the work. So I call myself giving you something to work with. But I know I'm not holding you up, so I can't let you down. So I need you to help me here. I need you to speak to me so that I spend my time wisely doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, working towards the things that I'm supposed to. And this is where my decisiveness and my diligence comes from. Because once I get the, nope, I need you to go 100% on that, nothing can stop me.
And how do you know about the nope, I need you to go 100% on that? Is that based on physical signs in the world or is it based on like a message that seems
it's
to come
a
through to you?
It's a combination because it'll come to me. The same thing will come to me in many different forms. And then I'm like, all right, God, I hear you. So I'll hear a message and then it's like, huh, right? And then I'll hear something else. My mom might say something and I'm like, huh. And then you'll say something and I'm like, okay. Doggone it. You know, that's the thing, you know, but it's like when you have that throughway, when you have that thread, it's almost unmistakable. It's unmistakable. And that's where I don't ever feel that I have to ask for permission because I feel there's an inner, even when it's hard and I have to work through, it's almost like I'm paying a price. Remember how we were talking about boxing last week and we were talking about how Bud had to pay the price over all those years to be able to have stand on this great stage and have his hand raised in this ring for this major prize because he paid the price all those years to be able to be called the best in this moment. That's what it looks like for me. So I don't, even if it's a little hard, it's like, okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I like about what you're saying is that there's a there's kind of a moment where you embrace a certain outlook. Mm-hmm. So there's different things that are happening. There might be a sign. There's a car accident. There's intuitive thoughts or God messaging that's coming just through voices kind of in your head. Mm-hmm. Then there's God speaking to you through other people. Yep. And you're kind of synthesizing all these things. But then you arrive into a moment of decisiveness and then you don't go back.
I don't.
I feel like I constantly flip-flop back and forth. I can see both sides. I can see both sides. I don't mm-hmm. land upon something and then feel confident enough in that something. And I'm wondering if what's missing, and I think I've been wondering this for the past 5 years or so, is what's missing faith? Like, am I too mind-identified and not enough God-identified? Or universe-identified, or whatever. Pick your word that you want to go mm-hmm. there. There's this... The faith is the thread that is keeping you stable in knowing, you know, in trusting. I think I don't have trust, so I think I need to keep working. My mind needs to keep working, needs to keep dancing, needs to keep whatever, instead of just feeling like, okay, this intuitive thought, I can get there eventually, but I go back and forth so much, and it's a lot of wasted brain power. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it sounds nice to just be able to throw it up to God. It just that idea really appeals to me.
And I think the key at that I feel like a lot of people miss is the peace in the meantime. When I don't have peace about something, that means that something's out of whack somewhere. I'm off. Mm-hmm. Something's off. I'm in a wrong place. Mm-hmm. I made a wrong decision. Something's off. But I could be in an uncomfortable situation and still have peace. That's what they call the peace that passes all understanding. Like, it doesn't make sense that I could be in a place that I'm uncomfortable physically, but mentally and spiritually, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think the way... I'm taking notes on the way you're navigating your internal temperatures. So mm-hmm. when you are arriving at the perspective that you need, the predominant feeling is peace.
Yes.
And not a feeling of being unsettled. So then you know you're there and you're ready to move forward.
Right.
So you never ask for permission. You're going. Saying always forgiveness is the best route.
For me, yeah. For me. Huh. There, and if I've trampled over some toes, I'm quick to ask for forgiveness. I'm quick to it, you know? And I feel that it's important. This only works when people know your heart. I want to go to the conversation that you and I had this morning. I'm breaking the third wall, but only a little bit I don't want to tell the business. But
you can tell it. I'm an open book.
Okay, so because Jen will tell you guys all the business, honey.
I'll tell you anyway. but you're going to do it, game on. I was not going to do it.
But Jen and I had a tough conversation because I was feeling some kind of way in the editing process for another episode.
For last week's episode.
And I was all emotional and I'm texting her late. But then
11 p.m.
But then this morning we had a conversation about it and we got through it. But the beautiful thing about that conversation was the basis is we're family and neither of us are going anywhere. So we could have the conversation, reach a level of understanding, even ask for forgiveness for, okay, I was in my emotions and I probably shouldn't have said that, you know, and I probably should have just called you instead of texting you, or I should have waited till this morning or whatever it is. You know, we can get to a level of understanding. We can forgive each other, but it's like you have to know my heart for us to get there. Mm-hmm. Make sense? Mm-hmm. So when I'm at the people that I'm asking forgiveness for, they know my heart. They know my intentions. They know my love for them. They know my passion. They know how I am. And so the only way that that request for forgiveness would not be accepted is if it's someone that should not be in my sphere anyway.
Hmm.
We don't have that basis, whatever it is, that basis of friendship, that basis of adoration and respect.
Of trust.
Of trust.
That through line of trust is really jumping out to me right now, because what I'm gathering from what you said is that the only entity you're asking for permission from is God.
That's it.
That's where the permission piece begins and ends for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes I feel like I'm asking for permission for my very existence in a way. I feel like sometimes I'm asking permission to voice my opinion. Sometimes I'm asking permission for things that should be my right. And I think last night is a good example in that way. And I'm glad you brought it up, because when we're talking about how the undercurrent was trust, that was what was getting me through going to this yoga class this morning and feeling like, ugh, I have to have a difficult conversation now because you text bombed me at 11 o'clock at night, which then causes, and with some like, you know, whatever, some complaints. There was a top note of condescension. Like, there was like some emotions there, like you said. And I'm like, I woke up at 1 just because I sleep horribly. And I'm like, seriously? Like, and then that makes me, because of the type of brain I have, that makes me start to like respond in the moment. And I'm like, well, here's what I don't like about what you said, to the extent that I actually even wrote it down in my phone. So I have a thing in my phone right now that was written at 1:30 a.m. that says things I don't like, because I'm trying to now work through my process. And then I even started typing to you a couple times at 1:30 a.m. And then I'm like, nah, that's not how this is going to go.
Yeah.
You did that. I'm going to leave that over there. I'm going to attempt to go back to sleep. But now I'm getting a text message from you this morning, like, we need to have a chat. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do my thing this morning, go to my class. But then as I was driving home, because whenever I have to have a difficult conversation with anybody, with work, with my, you know, fiance, with anybody, I just feel the sense of dread, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just annoying. It's like a weight on your morning or wait on your day. It's like, you just know this thing is coming up and it's going to be tough. But the thing that was different about this drive home or the leading up to the talk was just that I just kept thinking, there is so much love here. There's this undercurrent of love and there's this undercurrent of trust. And I know that our relationship is going to survive this because I actually do trust you. And I knew that we could both communicate what we needed to communicate. And I think I was in my own process of not asking for permission, because, you know, things that you were saying were bringing up things in me and grievances. And I just kept going through some therapist that I was with. It was about boundaries and it was about rights. And so I also have a right to say, well, this is how I feel, because this is a conversation about how we feel and how we're affecting each other, and we're in a business relationship or we're in a friendship, and there's toes being stepped on and there's ways that we're not aligned. And I also have a right to voice my opinion and not to water that down. Because
right.
if I water that down, then I'm going to be mad at myself. Like, I don't actually need permission to speak my mind.
Right.
You know? So that was a really cool experience. We always come out the other end of it stronger.
Always.
But what I'm experimenting with, I guess, is trying to find some level of something stronger than what I have currently. So right now I'm hearing the word faith echoing in my mind. I'm hearing the word trust echoing throughout this conversation. And then there's this other word circulating around here, which is confidence. Sometimes, like an example from this morning is, we have people at our house again, in case you can hear this leaf blower in the background. And the landscaper is putting a bed in the yard. So this is now the final pieces of the yard. There's a whole bunch of plants going in that are basically, they're shrubs and they're big. And so they're really permanent installations. And the colors of them just weren't sitting right with me. It's going to be pink and purple. It's like, is this a little girl bedroom? Like, that's not me. That's not my style. And so I was thinking, I just really wanted a shrub that would flower orange in the summer.
Right.
But I almost felt like I couldn't, because it has to happen fast because they're here today. And I think it's based on the availability at the nursery. But I'm thinking to myself, no, I have a right to call back and say, but why do I have to even consider whether I have permission to do that? Permission from who? You know, I'm paying you. That's the situation I'm constantly finding myself in, where the thing that's pushing up against me is this people pleasing. It's like, I don't want to be that difficult customer who's calling you in the nth hour to be like, excuse me, as you're about to put the plants in the ground. I really want an orange plant. Is that an option? But I couldn't let it go because, like you said, with that decision-making process, it just kept coming back up for me, kept coming back up. I'm like, no,
you didn't have
I need
peace
to put my
it.
Foot down. No. And so I couldn't let it go. And it's sometimes it can be hard to figure out whether I need to let it go or not. That's what I was struggling with, I guess, is am I obsessing? Am I being too perfectionist? Am I being whatever? And then I just thought, no, I'm not. And I called him and I said, can you just put my mind at ease that there's no alternative plant that can go here that would be a shrub, same size, but would also flower orange during the summer? And and he answered it. And he said there was only one other shrub. It's a rose bush. I was like, not interested because of the thorns and having kids. And I'm like, done. And now I have the peace of mind. But it's like, that's what I'm thinking about as you're saying that with the permission thing. I think if I was Bettina McCadney, I would have just called and been like, I want an orange plant. Can you make that happen or not? You know, I would have spoken the headlines. Yes. And instead of being like, you know, even as I was doing it, I was apologizing for it. Also, that word apologize keeps coming up for me when we're talking is like, why am I apologizing for this?
Right.
I don't need to apologize for wanting the plant I want when I'm
that you're paying for.
Yes. Yes. So that's even as I introed it, I was like, I know I'm being a little crazy here, but, and it's like, no, you're not. Why are you even saying that? It's like coming out involuntarily out of my body. And that's why I just think I have a lot of work to do here.
Yeah.
You know, because if I had been really aggressive with it, then I would have always had the opportunity later to be like, hey, I came on a little strong. I might have been a little bit abrupt. I might have been a little inconsiderate, whatever I might have been later after the job was done, you know? So that's, I think I just want to move more towards not feeling like I have to ask permission because I think these things are my rights. They're not something I should be apologizing for or asking for permission. So that's where I'm at.
I would like to see you create your own version of my framework because my framework takes me out of, am I just being bristly? Sometimes I feel like a porcupine. Sometimes I feel like I'm bristly for no reason. But I'm that way with people that love me. And I can say, hey, like last night, I can say, hey, forgive me. I was probably in my feelings.
Yeah.
You know?
Like this morning, you were the first to just say, I apologize for that text message. It was, what was the word? Accusatory. I said it felt accusatory. And you said, you're right. And I apologize for that.
Mm-hmm.
So the prickliness was followed by the forgiveness.
Right. My framework is, okay, is this what I'm supposed to see? Like, does this reflect his promises to me? And the only way I know his promises is because I'm in the Bible every day. But this is my framework. And then am I in my feelings? Because I know that about myself. If I feel like there's something I have to defend or protect, then I will get bristly. I know that about myself. So then the second thing is, am I in my feelings or is there a real problem here? No, there is a real problem when you feel like I'm paying for this and then I have to accept something I don't want. Help us get to a level of understanding. Yes, let's get to a level of understanding so you ask the right questions. And then my third question is there precedence in the Bible for this? Like, how did God respond when this happened in the Bible? Because there's nothing new under the sun. It's just different circumstances. It's just a different age and it's just different circumstances, but it's the same problem all over and over again, right? And so once I see how that was handled there, then that helps me put my head in the right place, my heart in the right place, my thoughts in the right place. Like, oh no, I'm wrong. I'm the one that's wrong here. And God did not respond favorably when so-and-so did this. Or, nope, I'm right. And I get to ask for what I want. And so I just want to see you create something like that on your own. It doesn't have to be that, but what's your framework? Because the framework kind of takes the emotion out and it makes you not feel bad for asking. And then it helps you position what you're asking for properly.
Yeah. So I don't have the biblical framework. So my question for you would be, can you define what he promised to you? So when you're thinking about, is this conforming to what he promised me? What did he promise you?
So it's, oh, the Bible is laden with promises. It's laden with promises of peace, of joy, of a good expected end. And so if I was looking at a relationship I'm in and I'm like, okay, does this fit what he said about exceeding abundantly? Does this fit? Is this person a leader? Does he bow only to God? Because if he loves God more than he loves me, then he'll love me properly. But it's like, these are the things that I had to see. And that's why I said, when I'm looking for precedents. So if I can see that, then I can say, yeah, it's probably time for me to walk away, because he doesn't have a prayer life. And if he can't love God, he can't love me, because he can't have anyone dropping insight to him about all the nuance and my idiosyncrasies and how to love me. That has to come from someone who knows me inside and out. And I'm so multifaceted, it's going to take you a cool minute to learn me. But if you know how hard I love and how completely I love, then it's to your benefit. Plus, you get all these other great aspects of who I am. But, you know, so then it's like, for you, it's just knowing what you have a right to as a woman, as a homeowner, as the person paying for this transaction, as, you know, it's just knowing your rights. I'm using my biblical rights, but for you, it's just knowing what you have a right to. I have a right to voice my opinion here. Now, okay, so now that we understand that, okay, let's make sure that I'm not all up in my emotions, you know, make sure that I'm not asking for something. Like we see, I hate to use this derogatory term, but we see Karen videos all over social media of people trampling on other people's rights because they feel that their right is more valuable or more important than someone else's right. But that person has a right to be there as well.
You see,
you don't want to be, you don't want to be that person. So you just want to make sure that you have a right to ask what you're asking for. And then when you're asking for it, make sure you're not trampling over someone else's rights.
Yeah.
And then, you know, take the emotion out of it and just ask. And then you can boldly stand on your two feet and ask for what, you know, you deserve or what you're paying for. And you don't have, you can do that unapologetically.
Yes.
And I want that for you.
Thank you, friend.
Please do not get in my way. You cannot drive in my lane. Tires is burning the paint. You don't have nothing to say. This is how legends are made. I know I got what it takes. And I'm not popping the brakes. And I'm not popping the brakes.
This dovetails perfectly with our life focus question, which is distinguishing between wisdom seeking and approval seeking, when to trust your own judgment. Mine is pretty fast, as these ones usually are, but what I'm noticing here is that there's some approval seeking that is sneaking in, that is pushing out what should be my right. So I am meant to have agency as a consumer, and as someone who's paying you, there is a hierarchy here.
Right.
And you're performing a service for me. So for approval seeking to be coming in is not logical at all here. This is completely transactional. I should be able to ask as many questions as I want and not to worry that I'm bothering you. Because sometimes I think I'm like, am I difficult? Am I whatever? No, I'm paying you for this service. And I also think I'm exceedingly reasonable. I don't actually think anybody would describe me as difficult, but if they did, that's on them. That's the place that I'm trying to get. And then with the wisdom seeking piece, because I'm trying to differentiate between wisdom seeking and approval seeking, when to trust your own judgment, the way that I'm currently trusting it is just, is my mind at peace? Because sometimes my mind will keep going, keep going, keep going until I just asked point blank, can we switch it out with this other plant? No? Okay, cool. That's all I needed to know.
Right.
That then I'm at peace. So I am learning to trust myself. But then for the future, I also have this burgeoning spirituality. And it's not, you know, it's not specifically a Bible thing or even necessarily specifically a God thing, but it is also those things. Like it is this. I started therapy again, and she suggested to me this week that I try some embodied presence, which was like preaching to the choir, because I'm so aware that I need to try that, and I need to just sort of get out of my head so much and come into my body. So part of that spirituality for me is just presence and trying to really stay on 2 feet in the moment and be aware of what's going on in my body. Is something coming up here? And trying to be a body before I'm a mind.
Yeah.
But I think I want to try to really bring in spirit to that a lot more and universe into that a lot more and just try to just keep trying to align myself with whatever I think is bigger than me. Because I do notice that when I'm fraught, it's because I'm really caught up in self, or I'm really caught up in thoughts, or I'm believing the story that my thoughts are telling me, or, you know, I'm kind of talking to myself, and it's not a good place to be. So I love the way that you try to be led by divine downloads. I share some of that. I do believe that God speaks to me through other people. I do tend to get advice from a bunch of different people and then kind of go and synthesize that and see what resonates with me. Mm-hmm. But I think I need some type of more enduring faith and some type of, I think that faith would manifest in me as confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I think if I had a greater faith, I would have greater confidence in my actions because I would feel that I'm being God-led or universe-led. So it wouldn't be so much pressure on me, Jen. You know what I'm saying?
So what you're saying is, what you're saying, and I've said this before, I believe this, I believe that we are tripartite beings, that we are, the lowest part of us is our body. It's our animalist, our most animalistic part. The lowest part of us is our body. The next highest part of us is our mind, our soul, the mind, will, and emotions, right? But that's our soul. And so those two areas, you're controlling well, right? You have good stock there, but the part you really need to build up is the spiritual part of you, the spirit of you. And that's the part of you that's closest to me, God. That's the part of you that's closest to that. That's the highest part of you. That's the most real part of you. I feel that the part that I can feel, the part that I can see is the lowest part of me. That's the reason I'm not concerned about my body. Like everybody wants to, oh, my hips, my butt, I need a breast lift. I'm not worried about none of that. Not that any of, you know, my stuff is unattractive. I'm cool with me. But what I'm saying is I'm not going to put more emphasis on the lowest part of me than the highest part of myself. That's what I'm hearing. Like you're now starting to develop the very best part of Jen. And that's going to end up with the very best of you for this world.
But the very best part of Jen is not more Jen. The very best part of Jen is Jen as a channel. That's how I'm thinking of it. When you say the body thing, the thing that came to mind is my body is not who I am. It's just where I live.
Yep.
I came across that in my notes the other day, and I thought that was kind of cute. It's not who I am. It doesn't define me. And I think when I'm the least happy, like in the situation where I'm struggling with confronting someone over a service that I'm paying for, it's because I'm too much in self. Like that ego thing of like ego as an acronym for easing God out.
Mm-hmm.
I am too much in how do I look? I'm too much in that. And so that's not being channeled. Channeled is letting the energy of the universe flow through you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what being channeled is. So instead of being that way, I'm in ego. I'm thinking, how am I coming across? What do I look like? And then I'm having this really fractured sense of identity because I know who I am.
Yeah.
But then I'm wondering, how do I look? And how do I look is not where I need to be.
Yep. Love it. I love that.
So talk to me about how do you differentiate wisdom seeking from and approval seeking, distinguishing between the two, and when to trust your own judgment.
I think that there's a fine line to walk here because I believe that there is safety in wise counsel. So I can't be this lone ranger throughout the bulk of my life making all these brash and rash and heavy, huge decisions. I believe that there is something to one of the things that we talk about all the time is you having people around you that you trust and whose opinions matter to you, whose voices help you decide on some of the heavier things that you have to decide for your life and help you make decisions for the right direction to walk and to turn. And I believe that there's a benefit there. I feel that there have been times in my life when I've had good counsel. I feel that there have been times in my life when I've not had good counsel. I feel that I'm not in that space right now. I have a couple people that I trust with what's going on with me, you being one of them. I have a couple people in my world right now that I trust with what's going on with me. There are some people that I filter certain things to because I trust them up to this point. But then right now, I feel that I'm just in this place where God has you in a little bit of a cocoon because the best part of me is ready to emerge. But there are some things in me or things that I used in a lower phase or in another stage of my life that can't go with me to this new stage. So that stuff kind of has to be weeded out as I'm learning and as I'm in prayer and as I'm starting to see, as my eyes are being opened to see more of me, right? And so there's this fine line to walk. I don't think it's an all or nothing. I don't think it's all infinite intelligence and no wise counsel. I think that it's a combination of the two. I think that there are times in your life where one weighs heavier than another just because of the season that you're in. But I believe that this place that you're walking into, where you have a good mix of wise counsel and you're developing your spiritual nature, I think that this is going to evolve into the best years of your life because you'll have a great mix of the two. And I think the same thing for myself.
Yeah, it's not all or nothing.
It's not all or nothing. I don't think it's one or the other. I don't think that.
Yin yang.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that.
Okay. So I was going to say, let's get into our recipes.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Let's go with it.
Okay. Let's do it.
I don't even think I have a recipe, but let's go.
Well, that's perfect because today is no recipe. Cooking by instinct and taste. So I'll give you a moment. So I'm going to kick it off.
Okay. Go.
I tried this last night. So I'm still new to cooking. I've been doing it for over 20 years, but I still feel really new to it. Mm-hmm. So I tried last night setting my oven to 350.
Oh, why? You better go
because
ahead.
Because I wanted to try, instead of saying, okay, everything's a different temperature. I was cooking asparagus. So here was the dinner. Asparagus, salmon, and mashed potatoes. I was going to put teriyaki sauce on it. So I thought briefly about taking a shortcut and doing the teriyaki from a jar. And then I was like, you know what? No, teriyaki from scratch is very, very easy. It's an Uncle Bob recipe. I'm going to introduce it here so that there's a piece of recipe in here for you guys. You basically just take a quarter cup of soy sauce, a quarter cup. I use vegetable stock. He used chicken stock. And then a quarter cup of either mirin or you can also use sake. And you just basically bring that to a simmer in a pot or a boil so you can boil off the alcohol. And then you add a little bit of cornstarch and a little bit of sugar, like a cornstarch slurry and sugar. And that's it. I don't get fancy with my teriyaki sauce. It's soy sauce, stock, and some type of cooking wine. So either a sake or a mirin. And I put sugar to taste and then I thicken it with the cornstarch at the end. I don't do garlic. I don't do ginger. I don't make it fancy like that. So what I did though, while I was making the sauce, because the sauce takes no time at all, what I was doing is I put the salmon and the asparagus in the oven and I just set it to 350. And then I just set the thought of that thing into the oven on the back burner for me. So every 5 minutes or so, it would occur to me, hey, check how the thing's doing. Because what I have written down in my phone is that salmon is 400 for this and asparagus is 425 for this. So I just said, no, I'm just going to keep it at 350 so I can kind of keep my head on here so I could take my time so that if it goes an extra 2 minutes, it's not going to be a disaster. And it worked out really well. The asparagus actually came out perfectly.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the salmon needed a couple extra minutes, but it wasn't like I'm on this hot and fast. Like I was able to give it 5 minutes and then another like 3 or 4 and it was all good. So I'm working towards just becoming slower in the kitchen and just taking my time. So I turned everything down to 350 last night. It was amazing. Everything came out really, really well. And it just allowed me to cook by instinct instead of always looking up stuff all the time.
I love it. I'm going to do my no recipe. Recipe is something that I want to make for dinner tonight, which is fried fish. I'm going to make some fried fish.
Mm.
What's funny about the no recipe recipe in this for me is my mom and I were talking recently, and she makes her, my mom just is an amazing cook. I get my skills from her, but they've now conned me into coming home for Thanksgiving because they want my food. They want me to cook for Thanksgiving. That's at the bottom line. So my sister's like, you can stay with me. Of course I can. You know? So
as long as you provide your mashed potatoes.
As long as I'm cooking. She's like, as long as you make dressing, as long as you make the roast, as long as you make the greens, like as long as you cook, we want you here. So, but no, but as I was talking to my mom, I'm like, how do you make your fried fish? And she's like, salt and pepper. I'm like, me too. I thought I was weird. She's like, nope, salt and pepper. Literally, we take whatever piece of fish it is we want to fry. My mom's favorite is buffalo. My favorite is red snapper. And we
buffalo.
Salt it.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, she loves buffalo fish. And we salt it with salt and pepper. And we use some cornmeal and some hot oil. And you put that like 2 dredges. I don't do a wet dry with my fish because I really want just like the cornmeal. I don't like flour on my fish. It's just cornmeal. But I drop it twice so it can get a little bit extra crunchy. And I fry it in some hot oil. And that is literally the best thing. And a little bit of Red Rooster honey because I'm black. Put a little bit of that Red Rooster hot sauce. I don't even know if they make Red Rooster anymore. Louisiana is the next best thing.
Really?
Louisiana hot sauce and some sweet potato fries. And that is heaven. That is heaven.
Okay.
And so you'll just drop it in the cornmeal bath, and I'll drop it again to make sure that every part of it is coated, and I drop it
in
that.
So it's just cornmeal, that's it. Salt, pepper, the fish, drop it in cornmeal, drop it in oil.
Yep, that's it. And that's going to be the best fish that you fried fish that you had and make it with some sweet potato fries. I bake my sweet potato fries. I might as well fry them because I'm frying this fish, but I bake my sweet potato fries.
You fry those first though, right?
Before you I bake them the first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you bake them? Fries?
Bake my sweet potato fries. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Put a little bit of salt and pepper put a little bit of olive oil on some parchment paper on the sheet pan. And that is amazing.
Done.
So once again, we have completed another amazing episode of What's the Temp podcast. My name is Bettina. I'm checking out. And be great on purpose.
You really bring the energy at the end. I love that about you so much. Have a great 24, everyone. We love you. Peace.
Bye.
Please do not get in my way. You cannot drive in my lane. Tires is burning the paint. You don't have nothing to say. This is how legends are made. I know I got what it takes. And I'm not pumping the brakes. And I'm not pumping the brakes. I'm too competitive. I like the narrative. I don't know best in the league. Who you comparing with? That is infinitive. Top of the throne, it is me. How you moving slow on the speed? I just been bringing the heat. I just been bringing the fire. Bringing the fire. I just been bringing the fire. And they can't stop me. They know that I'm bringing the. I got the fuel in my veins. Trust me, I'm making a name. We are not one and the same. I am on top of the game. I cut out the line on my brakes, and that's what the drivers are saying.